might be the 10th annual, Kevin. Are we sure?
It's the ninth.
Welcome to the 9th annual Joe Shuster Awards. By being 9 years old, this award ceremony is now officially too young to read DC Comics. That's the first dig I'm taking at my employer tonight. You can count them and find out how long I'll be employed with you. To my right is my co-host, a mild-mannered reporter for a large metropolitan newspaper, and he wears glasses, so don't make him take them off. Rob Salem.
No introduction, so I'll do it anyway. He's a writer, notably Simpsons, an artist, notably doing the Batman 66, a raconteur on just about any subject, can't shut the guy up. Also a 6-foot invisible bunny, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ty Templeton.
Today also is a special anniversary sorts for the Joe Shuster Awards because this is the 75th anniversary of the creation of Superman. And it also matters that you guys know that the name Joe Shuster is used with permission of the family. We are not a corporation that exploits Joe Shuster for anything. That's two.
And the switchboard is lighting up in DC.
Stan Lee's mad at me for some reason.
Yeah, still sharp as a whip. Anyway, these awards were established in 2004. It's Canada's national award recognizing outstanding achievement in the creation of comic books, graphic novels, and web comics. We don't have to read that part.
Nope. We happen to be back in Toronto.
We're happy to be back in Toronto. The awards have moved around a bit. Actually, I was first year with Rick Green.
Yep.
And
then we had them in Calgary and Montreal for a while, and I hosted them out there.
And now we're bringing the country together, right here on this stage. It's also it's another significant event that I'm sure you've all heard about, the Justice League Canada, you can believe. Apparently not.
This is the market DC is aiming for, and they're excited as hell.
You're just going to dig that ditch.
I know. There's nobody here for my company. This is not going to get reported back. Right?
There's their cell phone.
Yeah.
Watch it. It'll go viral. Without further witty banter on our part, we'd like to present the first presenter of the evening. Be Kevin Boyd, the Associate Director of the JSA and owner of Toronto's Comic Book Lounge. Kevin.
I hope you're enjoying our slideshow presentation. We worked really hard on it. I spent hours with a Sharpie. No, actually it was Tyrone. Tyrone did a great job with the slideshow, and he's very frustrated right now, I'm sorry. So how's everybody enjoying the con? Have you been there today? Yeah. It's pretty exciting news about Hobby Star Y being sold out to some Swiss company that nobody really knows what it is, but or what it means, but I certainly don't. I got out, thankfully. So. I don't face, but I'm very neutral. Usually, I try to stay out of these fights. Sometimes I'm in them, I drag into them, and I just continue on message boards for hours, just posting things after another. So I'm just killing some time here. So we're just going. It's very exciting. This year we've got a new trophy design. So we were working with Darwin Cook, renowned illustrator and a former Joe Shuster Award winner and a regular Joe Shuster Award nominee. Does some fantastic work every year, and he did this great design that we really want to show you. But right now it's on the screen somewhere. And we've been working with a 3D printer by the name of 3D Factory, and they made these elegant trophies. I'd like to show you as well. Let's see if
Is this a metaphorical?
You know, it's really, it means quite a bit. It's
very meaningful to watch.
Yeah, it's representative of
Darwin's
Yay!
Hey!
Looking eagle.
Yes, and Darwin's Bedapp has come to you. Yeah, Adventures of Batman. does anyone know any good jokes? I'm running out of material here. So I wonder if that's the Beardo that's having revenge on him. Or is it, is he just, oh, there we go.
Oh.
Something's happening.
I'm going to have a schedule for
it. We could. Might help with our fundraiser. Right. Oh, there we go. That's 3D Factory's logo for a second.
Oh, 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 oh,
there it is. Yeah. Very elegant 3D printed award with a very generic name on it, which I can't read because I don't have my glasses.
John Smith.
John Smith. He won back in 1932.
Oh.
All right, there it is. Okay.
We're at the wave.
I think we have a side view of the Superman. All right, there we go. It kind of is like a jerk of gas. As a jerk. It's like a new surprise.
Hey, there it is.
Hey, let's slightly
aside. And on the rear, if that comes up, there you go. We actually have the names of our sponsors on there, including the Dragon from Guelph, Gorilla Printing, 3D Factory, some store called the Comic Lodge. And since I don't have my glasses, who else is on there? Anybody else? Visions of Utopia. Yes. And 3D Factory. Okay. And it's kind of small. That's what it looks like. But it's cool. It actually is really cool. And so I'm going to start off with the first award for our night. And that is Outstanding Cover Artist. And the nominees are Genevieve Castre, Darwin Cook, Mike Del Mundo, Jacques Lamont, oh, Stuart Eminence, right? There you go, you put it too far back. All right, Stuart Eminence. There you go, Jacques Lamont, Yannick Paquette. And last but not least, Fiona Staples. And the winner is, Michael Del Mundo. Mike is exhausted and wasn't able to make it out tonight. It's a long day at the con, lots of sketching, things going on, but we will pass this to him at the show tomorrow.
Now and Then Comics and its owner, Harry Kramer, exemplified the very best in comic book retail. Customer service, product knowledge, and Harry's affable nature showed that comic book store what a comic book store could be.
And while Now and Then is no longer with us, many stores in Canada exemplify the values shown by the late Harry Kramer.
This year, there were five finalists from across the country. They are Another Dimension, Calgary, Alberta.
Amazing Stories from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Heroes, London, Ontario.
Imaginaire, Quebec City, Quebec.
Early's Comics, Toronto, Ontario.
Stores are nominated by the general public and then judged by a panel based on product range, whether they support a wide variety of innovative material, the overall appeal of the store, industry knowledge, community activity, and adherence to ethical business practices.
This year's winner exemplifies customer service, product knowledge, selection, and a commitment to spreading the gospel of the medium of comic books. I am proud to present the Harry Kramer Award to Heroes of London.
Because people are very passionate and committed, and everyone, the thing they share in common is a love of comics, a love of their country, a love of sharing this with you, and a desire to do it right. So this year, our first inductee, we put a lot of pride into first, because it means someone blazed a trail for someone to follow. Someone spied an opportunity where others saw only the possibility of failure. And somehow, they leapt forward to seize the day. Firsts are rarely the domain of the unskilled. Because even when someone sees a chance, they still need the skill to make the idea they've conceived last long enough and be successful enough to be first. Creator Vernon Millen, I've already ruined it. Creator Vernon Miller is being honored today because he created one of the first Canadian comic book publishing companies and the first true Canadian superhero. But he is also here because he built on that accomplishment to create the slickest, most beautiful line of comics from the Canadian Whites era of the 1940s and one of the most successful. Vernon Miller was born in Winnipeg in February 1912. To Gerald and Ethel Miller, the second born in a family of three boys and one girl. Gerald supported the family by working as a real estate agent in Vancouver, while Ethel stayed at home with the children. Vernon spent the better part of his childhood in Winnipeg before moving to Vancouver in his early teens to be closer to his father. It wasn't much later that he began his career as an illustrator in local newspapers, such as the Vancouver Sun and the Province. That would change in the early part of World War II when the Canadian government introduced legislation that led to dramatic changes in the print scene. In 1940, the War Exchange Conservation Act prohibited most American periodical publications from being sold in Canada. Where some saw that as an obstacle, a void, Miller saw an opportunity to capitalize on an untapped market and took advantage of the now vacant industry in Canada. In 1941, with Harry Smith, he co-founded Maple Leaf Publishing, one of the first four original publishers of comic books in Canada. The first issue released by the company, Better Comics No. 1, appeared on newsstands in the spring of that year, just beaten to the punch by Anglo-American's oversized tabloid comic book, Robin Hood and Company. However, the Anglo-American book consisted of Canadian newspaper strip reprints with a smattering of original material. Better Comics was published in the traditional size and format we associate with comic books and featured all original material, all written and drawn by Vernon Miller. Or Uncle Vern, as he called himself in the first issue of the magazine to his young readers. Among the stories was the first appearance of Iron Man, but I think that Robert Downey Jr. would make a hell of an Iron Man in the Canadian version. An aquatic Superman who lives in a bubble city beneath the sea, and the very first Canadian superhero, serving at the beck and call of two children, Jean and Ted, and their questionable adult supervision, the Major, the friendly Iron Man would depart from the depths of his watery bubble city deep beneath those South Seas to fight the Axis or any other topical villain available that issue. Iron Man was of a race of evolved superpowered humans that were prematurely destroyed by an earthquake. His quiet mourning for the loss of his people was only broken by his trips to the surface to break up planes, sink ships, toss tanks around, and save his trouble magnet surface friends. Best of all, the Iron Man adventures in the early issues of Better were actually in full color. Miller's other features, like cowboy hero Tiger Tex, the train adventures of the Roaring Rails, and the science fiction boys' adventure of the Earth Torpedo, were essentially black and white, but Miller enhanced their attractiveness by switching out the black ink for blue or brown ink and changing up the paper color. 1941 was a very busy year for Miller. In the midst of launching his new publishing venture, he also found time to marry his wife Lillian. The couple would go on to have two children together, Richard and Karen. With the success of Better, Miller's company expanded to four titles, Better Comics, Lucky Comics, Rocket, and Bing Bang Comics. And includes other great heroes and characters such as the Black Wing, Senorita Marquetta, Brock Windsor, Derry Dreamer, Bill Speed, the Honorable Freddy, Callahan, The Adventures of Peter and Peggy. Yeah. Give it up to Peter. Sergeant Kim has Adam and Eve, Kinky, and Circus Girl. Miller worked directly on several of the books in all aspects as both creator and producer, but as his staff of artists and number of features grew, he began to take on more of a writing role, working on such distinctly Canadian titles as, oh, more titles, Danny and His Magic Ring, Mr. E, and the aforementioned Tiger Tex, and leaving the art in the capable hands of staff artists like Bert Bushell, John Stables, Ernest Walker, Shirley Lee Fortune, and Ted Watson. During Canada's Golden Age period from 1941 to roughly 1946, Maple Leaf Publishers was not only a prolific company, but also remained Canada's top comics publishing company in terms of consistent quality. Unfortunately, in the spring of 1946, as the War Exchange Conservation Act ban was lifted, Maple Leaf was forced to cease publishing as American comics again flooded the market. This was not the end of Miller's illustrating career, though. He continued to work for newspapers and periodicals, including the popular Canadian Boy magazine in the 1960s. Vernon Miller passed away in 1974 at the age of 62, but his family and grandchildren are proud to see him honored by the Joe Huster Hall of Fame.
Okay, our next award is for Outstanding Webcomic Creator. I believe my esteemed co-host may have something to do with that one. Our presenter is Andrew Walsh, soon to be portrayed by Ben Affleck in a major motion picture. But for now, Webcomics Coordinator for the Joe Shuster Awards.
Our presenter for this is someone who, in the introduction that was written for me, it said a web syrup blogger, and you're going to have to explain that when you get up here, and a comic book historian, Rachel Ritchie, ladies and gentlemen.
Congratulations. There you go.
I guess, just anyone who bought it, and to the current account, Corey, for making it just really fun as hell to draw and illustrate, and just being a great collaborator. Thanks so much.
This is amazing, so I'd like to thank everybody involved in making this happen. Thank all the other nominees, because I've read most of the books now, and they're fantastic. And I'd like to thank my wife and my family for putting up with me disappearing every once in a while to write these, you know, semi-silly things. And thanks to Matt for inviting me to be involved in it a couple of years ago, and it's just been a super fun ride, and an introduction to me back to comics, which I sort of never thought was an avenue that I could get into, so this is fantastic. Thanks to everybody here, too.
Lost Heroes does usually refer to the superheroes that people don't know about, but in Murray Kern's case, I think definitely we can say he's one of our lost heroes. A lot of these Hall of Fame entries are people that we've been aware of through historical documents and that, but no one's ever written about Murray Kern. No one knew anything about him. We did, because we've read his comics, because we're nerds, and really into Golden Age Canadian comic books. And it took a lot of investigation and research, and we were able to finally find him in New York, where he's really happy and living his life and has been an artist for a long time. So finding him and talking to him on the telephone was probably the highlight of my career so far. And the joy he felt that he expressed to me on the phone, and I think Robert can come talk to him as well, about that people recognize him still, that people know that he did this work and that how important it was overwhelming. So he composed a letter for us to read for his acceptance. So it's okay. So I'll read it. I went to Central Tech High School in Toronto for 4 years. The first 2 years concentrate on academia and some art. The last 2 years concentrate on design, still life, sculpture, illustrations, light drawings. I had very good instructors. My drawings were so realistic they called me Kodak Card. After I went into the world hoping to find a job in the commercial art field, I found I had to work more to make it adaptable. I met Cy Bell of Bell Features, publisher of comic books. After having seen my samples, he hired me for Thunder Fist. When the original author of Thunder Fist retired, I was asked to take over the art and the continuation of the story. I started the Jeff Warren comic strip and worked on Cy Bell's premises, and later on our own, and I wound up in my uncle's club where I could work during the day. I hope I did not bore you with these details. One more thing, after I got out of the army and returned to civilian life, I had a job waiting for me, and all of this started my life as a commercial artist. He actually worked for movie advertisements in the style of comic books for many years when he moved to New York. So he said doing comic books helped his career immeasurably when he talked. Without it, he wouldn't have had the career he did. I wish to thank the committee for the honor of the Schuster Hall of Fame Award. And that's from my heart.
Is to give guidelines really to parents, teachers, and librarians. about the amazing sort of works being produced by Canadians in the comics field and works that are for children. These books are meant to inspire kids to read, to really hook them into a lifelong love of reading. So the nominees are La Jeune Jean, tome 2 et 3, by Alex A. from Presse Aventure. Cat's Cradle, Volume 1, The Golden Twine, by Zhou Ryu from Kids Can Press. Couette, Tome 1, Tombe du Ciel, illustrated by Minnie Kim from Edition d'Argo. Fred et Coutelic, La Tombe, by Jean Lacombe from Les Éditions du Soleil de Nuit. Secret of the Stone Frog by David Mitra from Toon Books. Spira, Volume 1 by Josh Tierney, Kyla Vanderhoof, Emily Carroll, and Jordan Pochon by Arkaya Entertainment. Architectural Three Thieves, Volume 3. The Captive Prince by Scott Chandler from Kids Can Press. And lastly, A Trip to the Bottom of the World with Mouse by Frank Viva from Toon Book. So this year's selection is an excellent start to a promising new series. The main character is engaging and mischievous, and Wen's immediately intrigued by her story. The reader discovers she has a huge heart and a penchant for adventure. You want to know where she's going and how she will get there in this imaginative fantasy world steeped with traditional folklore. Kids who read Volume 1 will no doubt have a hard time waiting for Volume 2, as will both of us.
Already.
Still.
The winner of the Dragon Comics for Kids Award is Cat's Cradle Volume 1, The Golden Twine by Joe.
Tonight is for outstanding work as a writer, and we have an outstanding writer to present the award. Before he comes out, I want to read the introduction that was written for him, because I really like this.
I enjoy it.
It says, producer Anthony Del Cole has created financial and marketing strategies for an extensive number of companies in the world of film, television, music, and publishing. I think that means he doesn't need the comic industry, he just likes it. Anyway, he is the co-author of Kill Shakespeare, which you haven't read it, you've made a mistake. Anthony Del Cole.
Yes, it's true, I don't mean anything. it's my pleasure to present the award for Top Writer, or Best Writer, this year. I'm jealous of all the nominees, one because they're eligible for an award that I haven't won yet. Secondly, because somehow they found a time machine back to 2007. And third, because they all seem to be really talented artists as well. Just going through the list, I know when people come up to my tables and ask for sketches sometimes, I'm like, I'm just the writer. Just going through the list of all the nominees, I know that they're really talented artists as well, so they could beat me in any sort of sketch duel. So, the nominees for Outstanding Writer are Ed Bryson, Fanny Britt, Alexandra Fontaine-Rousseau, Catherine Immonen, Jeff Lemire, North, And finally, Jim Zupkovich. And am I supposed to say, and the winner is, or the Schuster goes to? Okay, and the Schuster goes to, I don't even know who's winning. Oh, it turned out the award. Oh, perfect. Okay. The Schuster for S Writing Writer goes to Benny Britt. Back a number of years ago, I presented an award at the Canadian Urban Music Awards, and the recipient was not there, so I actually stole it and took it home. So I'm going to do the same for Benny Britt. Thank you very much.
Now to present the third and final Hall of Fame induction, Mr. Ken Stacey. I have it on good authority that Ken, in fact, has not been gambling today. We did give permission to take steroids, but only if you brought enough for the rest of the class. So they'll be moving among you after he makes this presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, Ken Stacey.
Comic book creator Hall of Fame. Something like that. I hadn't heard of it until. So this is all new to me, and I'm quite flabbergasted and gobsmacked and hornswoggled. I have not been involved with comics for 20 years, and I have had to build myself a brand new life in which comics are not really a major factor. But the announcement, to me, of this award took me by complete surprise and summoned me from my torpor to come back and actually be in touch with the comics world again and be in touch with my comic self. And made me realize that the work I did so long ago means something to people. And it's nothing better than that that an artist can experience, I think. So, you've done an amazing thing for me, and I shall be honored and pleased, or as they say in England, chuffed for the rest of my life, probably, because of this. I hope I get a nice big golden, here it is, that nice big golden, solid gold, lapel pin, you know, that says Hall of Fame on it. And so I expect that, plus a check for $1 million. I assume.
Yannick Paquette. I love pointing out that Paquette was spelled phonetically on this, but Yannick was not. Ramon K. Perez. Fiona Staples. And Marcus Cho. I hope this was a phenomenally difficult decision because there's not a single artist up there that doesn't deserve it. And the Joe Shuster Award goes to, I don't want to put on my glasses to find out, Isabella Arsenault. No, you're not, so I get a Shuster after all. Thank you.
You have one more before, though. So that's like, don't be greedy.
Don't be greedy.
Do you see me put that on the I read them.
You read these Shusters?
Yeah, there you go. Done. For cartoonists, we have Geneviève Castret, Scott Shepard, Mr. Darwin Cook, Michelle Falardo, Brandon Graham, Jeff Lemire, and Francis Manafort. And the Joe Shuster Award goes to. Can't believe I'm here. Ah, there it is. Jeff Lemire.
Thank you very much.